my dad got transferred up to Carson City. So we moved up here and couldn't find a house in Carson, so we ended up living in Dayton. We had gone to church a few times. It was more like a ritual and routine. I was just never really stressed in our house. I would say I probably believed in God just because I would look out at, you know, the mountains and just the night sky and stuff. It's just like, okay, there's no way that coincidence can account for all this. But I wasn't really interested in learning a lot about him. We stopped going to church probably when I was like in first, second grade. My mom was turned off to church because of gossip, and my dad was turned off because he just basically doesn't think it's genuine. Church was a hoax and that God doesn't exist. A lot of my friends were non-Christians, pretty much, like looking back now, except for Stephanie. How Stephanie kind of went about inviting me to church, and I mean, it was enthusiastic and genuine, and it was also accepting and patient. All the times, you know, I said I couldn't go or made up some excuse, I started going, and it was just really awesome. And it was kind of right off the bat, it wasn't like the stereotypical kind of church that I remembered from when I was littler. Everyone was just really cool, and it was just a place I could totally kind of let my guard down and just be at ease. You know, I hadn't gone to church for, you know, 5-6 years, and then I was all afraid I'd walk in and, you know, they'd try to baptize me as I walked in the door or something weird. It was just really completely different from how I've heard church described, you know, like in movies or in books or just from different people I've talked to. So I just kind of kept coming back and things went from there, and then just kind of led to me accepting Christ about this time last year. This is such an awesome thing. It's almost like ridiculously selfish to want to keep it to myself, you know, to see this light and this hope and to see God and then just want to, you know, put it in my pocket and then just go about my life. I'm really driven to share my faith with random people and with friends, just try to given that spark that I got when I first came. Just looking back, it just totally changed my whole outlook on how I viewed church and the message they were giving in the long run about Jesus and his ministry. I can't say thanks enough for Stephanie and the way she was there for me, and she recognized the need that I had and that everyone has, and basically gave me the answer.
Anthony, would you help me hand out these beans? All right, there's Blue Lake beans in here, and I'd like for everybody to take, oh, 5 or 6 beans. We are in the planting season, aren't we, here in Northwest Illinois? You probably drove through at least one cloud of dust as the farmer was out in the field and getting the crop in the soil, amen? It's just a wonderful time to be alive. I know this is my dad's favorite time of year. Springtime. They're joining us online this morning. By the way, thank you for joining us via our live stream. Got some wonderful news to share at the end of the message in regards to how the live stream ministry is growing. And we're so excited that you've joined us this morning, not only here, but those of you on the live stream as well. Also, you'll remember last week we had a wonderful time. Our teens just knocked it out of the park. Bases loaded, home run, praise the Lord. That video has now been uploaded. It's on Facebook and it's on both the Lost Lake and Living Well Church websites, and you'll get a chance. Really, I think you're going to see that the camera angle is better than where you were seated, because there were things happening on the floor that maybe you didn't get to see while you were seated back there. The camera angle was from over here and just caught most of all of everything that happened during that drama. And I'm telling you, every time I see it, I'm just moved beyond words. And I want to thank our teens for the work, the dedication, the commitment. That took literally months of work. And thank you, Dan, for your leadership, and Lisa, for your commitment to following through with the practices and everything. Well, it's time to plant, and as we hand out the seeds, remember that there are some amazing things in your hands as you get these seeds. We acknowledge that when we have a bunch of seeds in our hands, that there's little miracles right there. Now, I say that because every farmer knows that he's got a job to do, and he'll put the seed in the hoppers of the planter, and he'll get the fields all ready to go, and then he'll set out in the field, and that seed will go into the dirt. And then what does the planter do? What does the farmer do? He has to wait, even though conditions are favorable or good or not so good. He has to wait for something to happen that he can't make happen. In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verses 26, 27, and 29. Going to read that. There we go. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters the seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. It is this all by itself principle that we're going to talk about a little bit this morning, and that is this. When we've done our part to put the seed in the ground, there's a part that happens that we can't make happen, Rob. It's a part that only God will do, and it's called the all by itself principle. We just pull it right out of Scripture. Amen? It means that all by itself, and we know that it's not all by itself, it means that as it has been created by our Creator, the mystery of life happens. And we have tried to duplicate it in a laboratory. We've tried to make it happen. We've tried to spontaneously create life, but we just cannot figure out the all by itself principle. Well, that's God, amen? Now let's look at a parable that Jesus teaches right before this Mark chapter 4, verse 26 and 29. I'll be reading Mark 4, verses 1 through 20, if you'd like to follow along on the screen or in your Bibles. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced the crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to stop right there. We're going to read some more scripture, but everybody in here is a type of soil. Each heart has a certain receptivity level to the seeds of the Word of God, to the gospel of God. And as we continue on this morning, think about what's happening in your own heart as the seed is brought out now and it has an opportunity to take root in the soil of your heart. Now, when Jesus was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. That's us. We are continuing in our series, the Discipleship 2017, Four Grown Men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just following Jesus. And we're following their trek and observing specifically every time the Scripture talks about the disciples, we jump into the story and say, that's us. And so here we are again. When he was alone, after he told the parable to the people that were out on the shore, he's in the boat, you know, the water's going like this. How'd you girls do that? Yes. Yeah, like this. Jesus is on, you know, in the boat, and the boat is going up and down, and Jesus is teaching this parable from the boat. Now, when the crowd was gone, the disciples gathered around Jesus in the boat and said, tell us more about what this was about. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to us. He says, how then will he understand any parable? How then the farmer sows the word? Some people are like seed sown among the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. The first thing that Jesus brings out as he's talking to the people is that there are several risks to the harvest. There are several risks to the harvest. And as he's talking to the people from the boat on the shore, he's saying there's a few things I want to tell you about. The word that is being offered to you now, there's some things that could happen to the word as it lands into your heart. The first thing is, it could be like snatched away. Jesus talked about the word of God being sown onto the path and it being snatched away. The second thing is rocky places where the soil is not deep and where a seed can in fact experience germination, but when hardship comes, since there's no soil and there's no depth, the seed dies. And then there's thorns, competition for resources, weeds. But Jesus talks about also the good soil that is possible in our hearts. And that is, the good soil takes the seed, receives the seed, and produces a crop 30, 60, or 100. You see, we're not talking about addition here. We're talking about multiplication. Amen? And that is a principle in the kingdom of God. All right. I'm going to give you a bit of an interpretation here. The type of soil represents the receptivity and obedience of our heart. Each of us is a soil type this morning. At the heart level, each of us has a certain receptivity level to what is happening here this morning. Some are, like the disciples, just on the edge of their seat, ready to eat it up and receive it and put it to work in their lives. And others are like, yeah, I don't know if I really, you know, I may receive it and it's good, but then, you know, when I get out there, it's like, I don't know what happened to it. It's, you know, I get bombarded with worries and troubles and anxieties, and it just, I don't know. I do okay on Sundays, but then on through the week, I don't do very good. Receive it with joy. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The disciples of Jesus were so curious that I envision that they kind of crowded him and said, tell us about this parable. Explain it. Break it down to us so that we can understand exactly what you were saying to the people there on the shore. So Jesus talks about it and he says, I'm going to talk to you about the secret of the kingdom. Now, if you're a disciple of Christ, you're very interested right now. If there's good soil in your heart, you're sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for Jesus to share, because I am. I preached this an hour ago, but you know what? I'm still excited. Amen? Ready for Jesus to share his word into our hearts. Oh, this is good. All right. So Jesus says, the secret of the kingdom of God is given to us in parables. Now, here's the fascinating thing. These disciples, some of them knew the prophet Isaiah and they knew the Old Testament. And the interesting thing is, Jesus, you know that hard part about, you know, so that they may be ever seeing, but never, always looking, but never seeing, and always, they have ears to hear, but they're not hearing, and otherwise, hi, sweetie, otherwise they might turn and repent, and we wouldn't want that. And doesn't your theology do a little flip-flop right there? Huh? But listen to what Jesus does. He quotes from that text in Isaiah. You remember, we talked about it last week. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, Isaiah chapter 6. We all are familiar with that passage. Let's go on to verse 7 now. Okay. you're going to find that Jesus, as he's talking to the disciples and he's sharing with them the secrets of the kingdom, he goes back to Isaiah and he starts to quote Isaiah. And he says, with it, he touched my lips, mouth, and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell his people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Then I said, for how long, O Lord? And he answered, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields are ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will be again laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leaf stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed... will be the stump in the land. Holy seed. I want you to capture that in your mind. This is intentional. Jesus is quoting from Isaiah as he's talking about the seed, and he says, you are the holy seed. Now let's talk about this for a moment, because it's hard for our theology to grasp that eagerness isn't met by Jesus with always equal enthusiasm. You know, because we can receive the word and we get happy and we receive it with joy, and then we go out in the world and something happens. It's like what they're talking about at church doesn't seem to ring true in my life. Therefore, I receive it with joy, but when trouble and hardship come, it goes away and I die. And I have to come back again on Sunday and get it again, right? Let me help you break that cycle if that's the cycle you're experiencing this morning. Here it is. True salvation cannot happen without complete brokenness. What I'm talking about here is utter dependence and utter desolate repentance. Falling on our face before God, acknowledging that without him, I am lost. Without him, I'm just putting seed in the ground. And if he doesn't show up and work it, there's nothing I can do. And it happens in our finances. It happens in our emotions. It happens in our families. It happens in our relationships. We get so far down, and then we see with our eyes and hear with our ears, we're like, I got this. We get so far down in our finances, we're like, okay, just work harder, gotta. And then a check comes in the mail, and we're like, oh, got this, awesome. And we're not completely broken. You see, we cannot experience the full salvation of God without complete brokenness. It's called repentance. It's called having a contrite heart. And what happens in our lives sometimes is we see with our eyes and we hear with our ears. And we think, I'm going to reinvent salvation again in my life. And I really don't need this full salvation thing. I don't need to really give everything because I got this. Did it bother you a little bit that Jesus quoted Isaiah and God said, listen, he's talking about the children of Israel. Your bondage is because of your sin. Your chains to Babylon are because of your sin. And until you are completely broken and own responsibility for where you are today, getting all the way down completely broken on our face before God and say, God, without you, I am gone. I am dead. I'm a goner. I can't move ahead. But what happens so many times is, we get so far down and we cry out, oh God, Jesus, save me. And then something good happens because he's a God of compassion. And we see with our eyes and hear with our ears and we get up and we say, got it. Whew, man, I thought I was going to have to completely repent there. Whew. But God says, no, I'm going to let you go all the way down. I'm going to let you be completely broken. I'm going to let the land be desolate. I'm going to let the whole thing just blow away. in your life. Until you get broken, until you're on your face before God, there's really nothing I can do to save you. Because you will always be in competition with me for who is Lord. And about the time you think that life is hard and you're thinking about repenting, you're thinking about going to your knees, you see with your ears and hear with your eyes and hear with your ears, and you get back up and you say, I got this. But it is the broken, the minority, the tenth. Can you hear me all the way back? The tenth remains in the land. It will be again laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leaf stumps when they're cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. Now, there's a lot of Bible history there, but it's always the minority. I don't just pull that out of the air. It's for the gate, the road is narrow, and few there be that find it. In the tenth, there's always a remnant of the faithful who will allow themselves to be completely broken. Amen, Chuck. And allow God to take what's left out of the brokenness and turn it around for His glory. And that's the only way God receives all the glory for our lives. Amen. When we are completely washed up and we're completely done and we're completely broken. And that's when the seed, Steve, when God does what only He can do with the seed. Amen. That's when we move out of the realm of, I got this, to, I'm dead and dying and I'm goner. But look what God is doing. Amen. And the seed produces fruit. Whew. Everybody okay? Forgiveness begins by grace through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. Repentance follows a response to God's grace. We know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, true repentance is preceded by brokenness, an understanding that our sin is deserving of death. And because we've committed sin, the death penalty is on us, but Christ offers to take it for us. So we have an example of this. I'm not going to take time to read it now, but over there in Matthew chapter 26, you remember Peter? When Jesus tells Peter, he says, one of you is going to deny me. And Peter says, well, it won't. You know, I got this. It won't be me. After, you know, they said, is it I? And then Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, no, I won't. I got this. I got it. And then, you know, and Jesus said, well, when the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. And so Peter's standing away from the fire. By the way, I want to encourage you all to move into the fire. If there's something happening with the community of faith, you got to get in where the action is. Amen. Listen, I've pastored four churches now, and I've seen this played out time and time over. If we're standing away from the fire, your children will stand away from the fire, and their children will stand away from the fire. You got to get in where the fire is. Amen. You got to teach that when there's action going on in the body of Christ, I'm going to be right there in the middle of it. Amen. You got to get in by the fire. Peter was standing outside because he didn't want to be identified. He was standing outside the light because he didn't want anybody to see. But there was just enough for somebody to say, hey, you're one of the 12, aren't you? Peter, right after he said, I got this, I got eyes to see, I got ears to hear, I got this, Peter said, no, I don't even know him. Second time, third time, till he finally realized he doesn't have this. Amen. And he got on his face before God and cried out in true repentance. That's what we're talking about here. Without true repentance, there can be no salvation, because until we truly repent, we get so far down, and then we say, oh, got this. I got, whew, that was a close one. So really, brokenness is a blessing. I know that's hard, but you know what? Until we're broken, until God allows the full weight of the repercussions of our sinful decisions to come into our lives, and it may not even be our personal sin, it may be the sin of the world that we're living in, and God says, see what sin does, and we let, and that weight comes in on us, and we're fully broken by it, that brokenness is a blessing. Because by that brokenness and repentance, we are saved by His grace, by His blood on the cross. The disciples were on the edge of their seats, eager for an explanation from Jesus. So Jesus, again, He talks to them about, He goes through the parable again, Rob. And He says, a farmer went out to sow a seed. How many of you have turkeys in your yard now? These things are ferocious. When I was a kid, we didn't have wild turkeys in our yard. And now my folks talk about having, every year they have a flock of turkeys that just come through and just, I mean, it's like the locusts coming through and just eating everything. And they have a lot of fun antics and things to watch, but this is, Jesus says, some of you are like seed tossed out, and it lands on a path, and the birds come along and just steal it away. Hear the word with joy. The devil is a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. He comes to steal, lie, and destroy, sabotaging the work that God wants to do in you by His word, by stealing potential. Every time you or I read the Bible, sit through a sermon, and we get reconnected with the hope and acknowledge that, wow, God has a purpose for my life, and we receive the word, and we're like, this is awesome, and we get excited about it, and we go outside, and the devil says, I'll take that, thank you. But you see, until we're willing to repent and follow that word with obedience, the devil's always going to just pick at it and take what the Holy Spirit's given you, and making sure that you're not going to go too far with that. Just give me that. And I call him a sniper. Because when you're not even looking, he's going to take the word of God that Jesus wants to plant in you, giving you full potential in the kingdom and the work of God. And the devil doesn't want that. He'll take it from you if you're not careful. I'll take that. Thank you. Then there's those, Matthew or Mark 6 or 4:16, Jesus talks about those where the seed is thrown on rocky soil. Hear the word of God and at once receive it with joy. But because they have no root, man, I could preach a sermon here, Rob, about not having root. That's what discipleship is all about. That's about when we realize that being a follower of Jesus Christ is about way more than coming to church once a week. It's about way more than, well, in fact, it's like being a follower of Jesus Christ becomes where you're so anxious to follow Him that you'll take everything in your life and you'll sell it to so that you can follow Jesus. I'm pulling that from a parable in Scripture too. You get so excited that you're willing to do whatever it takes to continue to be a follower of Him. Jesus said that some will hear the word and receive it with joy, but because they have no root, and I'll tell you what, roots take work. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, if you have your Bibles, consider it pure joy, my brothers. I don't think it's coincidence that Jesus talks about receiving the word with joy. And then James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. There's the roots, Rob. Perseverance must finish its work. Oh, but it's hard. You know what trials of many kinds means to me? It means when you're battered and storm-tossed and drought and flood and you're just like barely hanging on. Jesus said, I'm allowing that to happen so that you get roots. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking, amen, in anything. See, when trouble and persecution comes because of the word, Jesus says they quickly fall away when the soil is not deep enough to let the roots form. Addictions, hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Whatever's going on in your life, let the roots happen, amen? It's not going to be easy, but that's where the growth and the maturity is. Then Mark chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. I just want to read it as we... come in here to this section. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Did you know that worry chokes the word? We all know the Bible says, do not worry because, well, God's got this. And we know that. But you see, when we worry, we're not on our knees, on our face before God because we're still kind of half and half in between saying, I got this, I got it. And we're not acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus Christ in every situation of our life. The deceitfulness of wealth. Oh, doesn't wealth promise a lot in our culture? In our culture, we are just convinced that if we had enough money coming in, our lives would be awesome. Can you hear me all the way back? That's the salvation message that our culture teaches. If I had enough money, everything would be fine. That's the oldest game of the devil. He's been playing it from the beginning. But our salvation is not in our money, amen? Our salvation is in Jesus Christ. But if we put our trust in wealth, it's going to choke the word in us. These thorns, they steal potential. They steal potential. Why? Because there's competition for resources. When we allow the things of this world to come in and be in competition for the gospel, the potential of the fruit goes down. Last year I did an experiment. Deb, do you still have, and Mary, do you guys still have that tomato? Did it die? Okay. Last fall, you remember the tomatoes that I brought in the little tray? I took this picture last October, I think, and I got 6 patio tomatoes in this little white tray, and we used 2 on the deck, and I gave 3 away. I had whatever's left here. I had 1 left. And I thought, all summer, I'm going to just kind of be tormenting to this poor little tomato plant. And so I'm just going to see what happens if I don't plant it, but keep it alive. And so all year long, this poor tomato lived in this little white tray with no more than hardly 3 thimblefuls of dirt to grow in. I kept it in the shadow of a massive early girl tomato plant. You've heard me talk about this before. This right here is my Great Dane. Actually, she's a little dog. She's my Tia. She's about, 6 pounds? Anyway, this tomato plant that you see there produced over 350 tomatoes last year. It's at the entrance to the barbershop. And so I kept this little tomato, this patio tomato, in the shadow of this huge tomato and just gave it enough water so that it would stay alive. And I was like, okay, what's going to happen? So in October of last year, I gave the remaining two away here, not knowing if it'd live or not. I put mine in a pot, and in a big enough pot, okay, a big one, and I brought it into the barber shop, and I put it in the window, and I kept it alive. And I gave him aquarium water, you know, the good stuff that comes out of the filters. I gave him nice, fertile water, and boy, you know, he started to grow. And all winter, you know, he was sitting in the sunlight there in the window, and he got all spindly, and you know, he was kind of anemic, but he did have some blossoms, and they were little bitty whispers of blossoms. And the thing kept alive, and it was a conversation in the barbershop all winter long. And just this week, I brought him outside. He had little whispers of blossoms, and long about January, you know, I took a Q-tip because somebody told me if you go up to the blossoms and you go bzzz like a bee, you know, and you go bzzz and you rub them a little bit that they'll pollinate. It didn't work for me. But anyway, there he is. And I'm just so curious to see what he's going to do because he missed the prime growing season. Can you hear me all the way back? We have a prime growing season in our life that we don't want to miss. But I think I'm seeing that once I got this thing back out where it's supposed to be, outside in the weather and in the wind and in the sunlight, something amazing is happening. Those leaves that were all anemic and stuff are just greening up and they're getting like, let's do something here. I've been dormant for too long, amen? So I learned some practical truths about the tomato and the seed and the plants. Number one, everything has a prime season for growth and production. I also learned that you can live a long time without having produced any fruit. And I learned that environment plays a huge factor. The container we're in, the shade, the sun, the nutrients. And I learned that good sunlight is absolutely essential to production of fruit. And I learned that a tomato seed will produce a plant, but not necessarily tomatoes. And I believe we've got a lot of plants in the Christian church in America. Amen? But it's time to produce some fruit. Blossoms are an initial first step of production, and we can get so content with showing our potential. Amen? We're like, Dixon community, look at our potential. You know? And they're like, whoa, that is going to produce a really good one. And then it doesn't. And it withers on the vine. I learned that pollinization must happen. That's being with the community and being close to the fire. And I learned that tomatoes are most happy when they're producing tomatoes. He just doesn't look very happy there, does he? I'm going to keep you posted as to what's going on with him. But you know what? Our combination of meeting in a downtown area in Dixon, one block away from Dixon's largest employer and service provider, KSB, we have an active online presence. This advantages Living Well Church with an extremely high visibility, both locally and nationally. Did you know that people, just because our name is Living Well, stumble across our website all the time? Did you know that Montel has a show called Living Well now? Did you know there's a cereal named Living Well now? Did you know that KSB has seminars called Living Well now? Did you know there's clinics that have the name, their clinic, Living Well. So every time someone types in Google Living Well, they have an opportunity to stop by our church. Amen. Did you know that last month we had 256 guests on our website? 168 of those guests spent time on our website. Half of them were new and half of them were returning visits. Amen. Did you know that we were in 12 states last month via live stream and internet? I think that's pretty amazing. Did you know that each of these visits lasted an average of 2.42 minutes for a total of nearly 12 hours of online ministry last month? And by the way, once they click on the live stream, that's not included in these numbers. It takes them off-site to a live stream host. Friends, I've never been more excited. 10 years ago, we wouldn't have seen this coming. But look what God is doing, preparing the soil and bringing the seed that we have to share. Amen? There's not a lot of churches that have that kind of potential to reach others with the gospel. Living Well has been tasked with the great commission of sharing the message of holiness with the secular culture. The message that Jesus brings help and healing and hope into every area of life. It's total life transformation. People stopping by because they're looking for a wellness center are stopping by and figuring out that Jesus might just have something to do with holiness and wellness. Amen. Look what God is doing. We have a counselor on site now. We have a in partnership with the building owners. Look what God is doing. There's tenants in the building that we're able to share Jesus with, and they're excited about the potential of Living Well right downtown Dixon, being able to share the good news of Jesus. After listing all the reasons how people can squelch the potential of the seed, Jesus now affirms those who receive the word with a willing heart and obedient follow-through in Mark chapter 4, verse 20, as our worship team comes. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. I want to be that kind of dirt. Amen? I want to be that kind of soil. I want to be able to share Jesus with that kind of vitality and effectiveness. And that's discipleship. When we realize that it is not only about Jesus saving us, it's about Jesus saving others as we help them come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. So, what kind of dirt? What kind of soil? What's the receptivity level of our hearts this morning? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for helping us today acknowledge that without you we're nothing. And we have our part to do, but without you, nothing will happen. We'll go through the motions. Lord, bring us to full repentance, I pray. Though it's extremely hard and difficult, we thank you for allowing us to be broken. We thank you, Lord, that we realize that until a seed falls off and and dies, it cannot live. So Lord, as we die one by one, as we allow the crucifixion of the flesh to happen, and we allow you to do not only treat the symptom, but also to treat the cause. Lord, we ask you to bless the seed that you've entrusted us with. All for you, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name. Stand together and sing.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all Amen. Nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Go make disciples.
Amen. Amen.